This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the Environmental Almanac talks about a group that's doing something about the weather by reporting weather statistics. We'll also have the forecast coming up for the weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. He's calling for a possible ice storm by the end of the weekend. First, today's news. Police have picked up the investigation into the deaths of a woman and a child found inside a burning house just outside Urbana. That's because they're comparing the facts in that case to a crash on Urbana's Lincoln Avenue not long after the fire was reported last night. County Sheriff's Police say a man's body was found inside a car that had slammed into a parked cement truck. The house fire took place on Glen Drive in East Urbana, just outside the city limits. Police have released little other information into those two incidents. They have also not released any names. A record number of candidates filed papers to run in Illinois' upcoming election. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, they won't all make it on the ballot.
A record-breaking 1,654 candidates turned in nominating papers to the State Board of Elections by Wednesday's deadline. The board's director, Dan White, says it's typical to have larger numbers during presidential contests. That's because delegates for presidential nominating conventions also run. White points out, however, that it's still uncertain exactly how many choices voters will have on election day. That's because the Board of Elections is still sorting out whose paperwork is legit. Politicians and their supporters often object to opponents' petitions. White explains what could get someone kicked off the ballot.
The biggest objection is a person filed, but they don't meet the minimum number of required valid signatures. So then they can question the signature and they can contest the actual registration itself.
White says nearly 200 objections have been filed with the Elections Board. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
There will be an appeal and a challenge to the candidacy of Champaign County Board Member Brendan McGinty. Ruth Wyman, the attorney for Richard Reynolds, says the appeal is filed this week in Champaign County Circuit Court and a hearing should be held soon. Reynolds says McGinty should be removed from the February primary ballot because his nominating petitions were improperly numbered. Last week, a local electoral board ruled 2-1 in McGinty's favor. Both he and Reynolds deny that politics plays a role in the challenge. Wyman's law partner is Robert Kirchner, who ran unsuccessfully against McGinty's District 9 seatmates, Steve Beckett and Barb Wysocki. McGinty is represented by Beckett's law firm. A state-sponsored study of the Mahomet Aquifer and its capacity won't be ready until next year. But a member of a committee assigned to draw up long-range plans based on those studies says he expects the conclusion to be that a growing demand for water will run up against a finite supply. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Brad Yukon told members of the East Central Illinois Environmental Alliance last night that his conclusion is a personal one, and that studies of the Mahomet Aquifer's capacity and the region's water needs are still underway. But the vice chairman of the East Central Illinois Regional Water Supply Planning Committee expects his opinion to be validated.
Well, I just think with the consumption rate that we're on, that I think we're going to see some changes. I think that, again, we're looking at a limited natural resource that's out there. How limited, that's part of what the study's going to look at. But I think we are definitely looking at a limited resource.
The Mahomet Aquifer supplies water to towns and rural areas in 15 Illinois counties. Many of those areas have no rivers or lakes big enough to provide an alternative water source. Yukon says right now they don't know exactly how much water is in the aquifer, how quickly it's replenished, or how much the demand for water may grow. Two studies that wrap up in 2008 will try to provide those answers, and Yukon's committee will use the data to come up with a non-binding regional plan for water use in the future. Their report is due in 2009. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Bike riders in Urbana are getting a seat at the table as the city tries to make its streets more hospitable to bicycles. The planner who's helping the city develop a bicycle network unveiled a draft of the plan at a workshop last night. Gabriel Lewis says it was the second workshop in a series. In the first, bicyclists were asked which streets they would consider major arteries for bikes.
Where there was space to do that, we recommended such things as bike lanes or shared bike parking lanes. On higher traffic streets, we looked into side paths, which is a shared use path bicyclists share with pedestrians and other modes, and that runs parallel to the side of the road on busier roads.
Lewis says the goal is to build a network that provides the most direct connections among major attractions like downtown, the U of I campus, and parks. Champaign is putting similar ideas into its transportation master plan that was revealed last week. The Great Savoy House giveaway has come to an end. Village officials have given up their offer of a free house to anybody who would pay to move it to another site. The house sits along Curtis Road and it stands in the way of the road's redevelopment. The Savoy Village Board gave its okay Wednesday night to plans to demolish the empty house, possibly in February. But village manager Dick Heldon says they'll get some use out of the house before it's torn down.
You know, our plan is to allow some non-for-profit organizations to come in and salvage as much as they can out of the interior of the house and the exterior, for that matter. And down the road, we'll allow some public safety departments to come in and do some practicing in there before we tear it down as well.
Heldon says they received close to 500 inquiries about the house giveaway, and about 75 of them were serious, but he says no one was ready to shoulder the cost of moving the home and clearing the site for redevelopment. That was a job that some had estimated as costing about $100,000. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. You don't have to be a meteorologist to report on the weather. On this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor invites you to join a nationwide group who's doing something about the weather.
One of the best lines I know about weather is the quote attributed to Mark Twain that says, "Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody seems to do anything about it." I mention that here, however, in order to introduce an effort by weather researchers who are working to make it untrue. Sort of. With support from the National Science Foundation and a long list of other sponsors, these researchers are developing a nationwide network of backyard weather observers who will work together to measure and map precipitation in their communities. The official name of the project is the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. Since the acronym for that conveys little over the air, I'll just call it the Community Rain Spotter Network for short. The RainSpotter network was begun in Colorado in 1998, prompted by a strange storm that dumped more than a foot of rain in some parts of Fort Collins, while other parts of the city experienced much more moderate rainfall. The flash flood that resulted from this storm killed 5 people and caused more than $200 million in damage. Somewhere down the line, it is hoped that the greater understanding of storms enabled by the RainSpotter network will help forecasters better foresee the potential for such disasters. The Community RainSpotter Network is growing rapidly at this point. Currently, there are more than 7,000 observers participating in 26 states. In our area, the RainSpotter Network is being coordinated by the Illinois State Water Survey and the National Weather Service in cooperation with University of Illinois Extension. Researchers at the Illinois State Water Survey have already used data generated by the RainSpotter Network to more accurately describe rainfall patterns from summer storms in Illinois. RainSpotters participate in an initial training session where they learn how to install their rain gauges and take readings using standard procedures. After initial training, observers commit to spending a few minutes each day measuring precipitation in their own backyards and reporting their findings to the network via the World Wide Web. The Community RainSpotter Network welcomes observers of all ages and provides a great opportunity for families to work together. It's ideal for learning some basics about science, such as how to collect data using standard instruments and procedures. But it's also cool in the hands-on approach it requires. Observers go outside every day to read their gauges, which are more accurate than the remote sensors that are so widely available. People interested in joining the RainSpotter Network are invited to attend an information and training workshop to be held on Wednesday, December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Champaign County Extension Auditorium. There's no charge to attend the training session, but pre-registration is required. Call U of I Extension at 217-333-7672 or look up University of Illinois Extension, Champaign County on the web and click the RainSpotters link.
Rob Cantor is a writer at the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the Illinois State Water Survey. Meteorologist Ted Kieser says it could be a dicey weekend, especially late in the weekend. He says a prolonged period of an icy mix of precipitation is expected across northern and many central portions of Illinois and Indiana, the worst of which is expected Sunday into early next week. He says many locations could experience a significant accumulation of ice. In the immediate future, the forecast calls for a partly and mostly cloudy sky in northern Illinois, some light snow tapering off in east central Indiana, but elsewhere in the north and central sections of the two states, cloudy. In the south, some scattered rain showers will arrive, and highs today will range from 25 in far northwest Illinois to 45 in the far south. Cloudy and 35, the forecast for Champaign-Urbana today. For tonight, look for partly to mostly cloudy skies and cold in northern Illinois. In northern Indiana, cloudy and central sections, cloudy with scattered showers of sleet and freezing drizzle arriving. In the south, cloudy with some rain. Lows from zero in far northwest Illinois to 40 degrees in the far south. 24, the forecast low for Champaign-Urbana, with that light sleet or freezing drizzle. For tomorrow, in the far north, cloudy with some light snow showers arriving in the afternoon. Elsewhere in the north and in central sections of the two states, cloudy with scattered light showers of sleet, freezing rain, and rain. In the south, cloudy with rain. Highs from only 17 in far northwest Illinois to 47 far south, 32 in Champaign-Urbana. Looking ahead to Sunday, cloudy with freezing rain, the high 31. And on Monday, more freezing rain after more freezing rain Sunday night. The low tonight, or low Sunday, 29, Monday's high 31. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.